Hey guys, welcome to The Butter Dish. I'm Natalie Delaney.
And I'm Heidi Ballard.
And we are back for part two with Michaela Emily from Instagram. We actually had a conversation with her. Gosh, it's probably been 2 years now. Has it been maybe 2 years now?
Really? I think almost, at least a year and a half.
Yeah, because we're like in season three of The Butter Dish and she was from season one. Oh, so welcome back.
Thank you. We spoke
a lot about body image. And a lot has changed. She's had a baby since, so we're going to definitely throw that part in there. But it's always a topic worth revisiting as, let's be real, body image is forever an evolution.
Yes. Right?
I think in the time that we've been doing this, it's changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And sometimes even on the daily, right? So I think this is definitely a conversation not only we're excited to have and talk to you guys about, but also you'll hear us as we process our thoughts in real time per usual, but just kind of some ideas about it. So what we'd love to go over today are few misconceptions about what people think body image actually means or what body image is, talking about how to improve your body image or maybe the evolution of it. We're of course going to talk about everyone's favorite, like pictures and clothes and how that can affect it. A little bit of after baby with Michaela. I'm realizing that it's been a long time since you and I have had an after baby moment for body image, but at the same time, everything since then has been an after baby thing. So we'll definitely dance into that. And anything else that comes up, because that's just how we roll. All right. So for maybe for those of our listeners who didn't actually listen to season one, which they should definitely go back and listen to, tell us about yourself and a little bit of all the things.
Yeah. So I'm Michaela. Thanks for having me on again. I work hand in hand with Marcy Nevin. We have very different clientele and client bases, and we do a lot of different things, but we love to work together and help specifically women with nutrition, body image, all that kind of stuff. I do work in corporate America, so I have that kind of, I like to call it an edge just to make myself feel better about it. But, you know, that edge of, you know, a lot of my clients do work in corporate America still, and it's a totally different ballgame from having, you know, your whole day to yourself. Not that any of our days are actually to ourselves, but you know what I mean? So, that's what I do there. I'm certified, and each state is kind of different. I live in Utah now, and I'm actually moving to Idaho soon, but both of those states let me call myself a nutritionist. So I guess I'm a certified nutritionist based on the states that I'm in. But, I've just spent a lot of years struggling with yo-yo dieting, body image, all of that kind of stuff, never feeling good enough, chasing a number on a scale, you know, all those things. And finally came out on the other side, wanted to help other people do it and got certified, and, finding kind of my thing is the gray area, the nuance, the in between, you know, feeling like you're still allowed to lose weight. There's nothing wrong with losing weight, but also we don't have to hate ourselves while we do it. And I think navigating social media these days with that makes you feel either guilty for losing weight or guilty for not wanting to lose weight or guilty for living in the moment or guilty for not trying to do your best. And so I try to help a lot of my clients and people on my Instagram navigate kind of that middle ground. So that's kind of all about me.
I love all the things you mentioned, because I hope that you guys understand that, like, it's totally normal to feel all those things.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that probably bothers Heidi and I the most are people who pretend that they've never, ever, ever experienced anything like that. Right.
Yes.
And maybe they haven't, right, in all fairness. But if I think alluding to the fact that there's like this pillar of never feeling bad, or if you master these five tips and use my program, you'll never feel bad again, and you'll never worry about your weight, and you'll never struggle with body image. Like, that just doesn't exist. Right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think also it's important to not be a robot. Like, these feelings that you have can give you a lot of insight to who you are as a person. And as we talk about fitness journeys and evolution, I think sometimes the more uncomfortable we are, the better change that we have available to us to happen, right? And
yeah.
So if you are struggling with your body image, it's awesome. Like, let's get into it and see what is going on and what is really contextual about it. And I think as we've kind of progressed over the years, we realize it's so much more than just like, I don't like how I look.
Oh boy.
You know, and a lot of it is like those stories and the things we've heard, or even a well-meaning aunt has really been kind of, I think, the root of it, which I'm super excited for us to dive into too.
Yes, absolutely. So where should we start, Natalie?
Let's start with some of the just misconceptions about body image, and maybe let's define it. So Michaela, she posted something that we super loved, and we're kind of just like the foundation for this podcast. So you maybe want to kick us off with it, because it is your post.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. So I made this post, and I think it came from you know, people thinking there's a finish line with body image. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that a lot, whether, and honestly, I think people think there's a finish line with losing weight. Like once they hit 150 pounds, which has been their goal for years, like everything's going to work out. They're going to be happy. They're going to stay 150 pounds for the rest of their life. And that's just so unrealistic. And when you look at the whole broad seasons of life, like there's just no such thing as getting to a finish line of really anything. Like, and I think that's, I mean, how boring if that was the truth, right? Like, can you imagine if all of us just peaked at like 25 because we hit our goal weight and we hit like all the check boxes we wanted to do in our life. And then that was it. It's like, there's so much more that comes with those seasons, and it can be hard and it can be fun, and, you know, it can stretch you in good ways and bad ways. But I think the misconception that I see all the time is like, once I get here, I'm going to be happy. Once I get to this weight, I'm going to feel better in my body. Once I make this much muscle, I'm going to feel better. Once I'm a year postpartum, I'm going to hit it. My baby's turning a year, which is crazy this week. And I think that that's been a lot in my head too, of like feeling not shameful, but feeling kind of like, wow, I really, you know, I thought I'd have a routine by now. I thought I would have been in the gym since 4 months postpartum. I thought I would do this, and trying not to judge myself for it, but also kind of feeling sad that it took me, quote unquote, this long to get here. And, you know, we were talking about how you guys were, it's been a while since you've been in the postpartum phase, and it's like, but the rest of your life is postpartum after you. And I think that that's kind of, you know, we put this pressure on like, oh, you're only postpartum for the first year or the first 2 years or whatever. And there's, you know, so many things that go along with that too. But I think it kind of goes along with that finish line idea that you're going to have something solidified by a certain time. That's just not true. And I think the other misconception is that you're just never going to feel upset in your body again, like once you've hit it. And I think I had a client kind of write in the other day, and she's like, I'm having a really bad body image day, and I'm so disappointed because I really thought I was past this. And I was like, the thing is you're past it, because you're able to say like, it's been a long time since I've had a bad body image day, and now you're having one, and that's normal. It's okay. It's normal to have it come up over and over and over again. I think the biggest thing is that you're still allowed to dislike parts of your body. You're still allowed to like a lot of your body. You're allowed to have days you don't think about your body at all. And you're allowed to have days where it feels kind of all consuming. And I think the big thing is, I guess if I could set some kind of finish line for people, it's that it just doesn't ruin so, so much of your life or so much of your days and weeks and things like that. And it also doesn't spiral you into a massive life shift. Like, mm-hmm. I feel bad in my body today, so tomorrow I'm throwing out all the junk food, I'm eating clean, like all of that crazy stuff that really just sends us into a tailspin that's going to backfire. But I think that when you're able to just say like, man, today's a bad body image day, and that's okay. I guess that's the only finish line I could really give people, is that once you're kind of okay with the ebb and flow, you're okay with there not being a finish line, that's when I guess you could say you've quote unquote made it, right? So that's kind of what that post was about, is that all these things still exist even when your body image is better, right? So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting how much, like, I think when I had my first baby, I think my perfectionism went into like major overdrive. I never wanted to be good at something so badly. Like this was, if there's, you know, I just wanted to be like the best mom possible. And I think in a weird way, sometimes like that emotional perfectionism or whatever, or losing your tolerance for negative emotion can really have like a cascading effect on other areas of your life. And I think like the way women have been taught to identify their self with their body, it gets very murky in this postpartum place, right? Because if you look perfect, then maybe you are perfect, right? And when stress is high, we go to our most practiced patterns. And for a lot of us, that is obsessing over our body, our weight, looking, you know, trying to get back to, like you were talking about, like that former glory, quote unquote. But just like you would not try to get back to the body you had before puberty, I don't know that it's realistic to try to get back to the body you had before you had a baby, right?
Right. I mean, honestly, my body image was very good throughout my pregnancy. I worked so much on my body image prior to getting pregnant, which I think was a fantastic way to do that. And so I really haven't had too many body image issues with it because I put all that work in prior, and I feel very lucky for that. And I still have struggles, and I still, you know, I'm kind of on this opposite side of the fence, which we barely touched on when we were chatting before, but it's that, you know, I actually had the opposite where I threw up most of my pregnancy and then had a very traumatic birth situation, which then led me to drop just tons of weight right afterward. And the amount of like, how do you look so good after having a baby? And I'm like, oh, because I'm sitting here being force-fed by my husband and my mom and my mother-in-law because I don't have an appetite. And I'm trying to keep this baby alive with this milk and I'm not making enough milk. And it's like, the scale just keeps going down and it's stressing me out. And it was a totally different side of things on top of like, whoa, picking, I had a C-section. So I already felt very like weak in many areas, but then like once the C-section had started healing, it's like, I picked something up and I could barely pick it up. Like something that I had hoisted over my shoulder, no problem, like pre-baby. It was like, whoa, I miss my strength. Like, I don't care that I'm smaller. I don't care that I'm this whatever size. I don't care that I'm this weight I haven't seen in over 10 years. I have no strength and I miss my strength. And so that kind of became more of like my body image issue was like, I miss being strong and I want to be able to keep up with my, you know, one day toddler and this little boy who's going to want me to do all these cool active things with him. Like, I want to keep up with that and keep my joints healthy and happy and all this other stuff. So, again, the ebb and flow of the body image here, like, you know, I think if in the heart of my body image issues, if I would have told myself like, hey, you're going to have a baby and you're going to drop all this weight and you're going to be this size and this like weight that you haven't seen in 10 years. I think back then I would have been excited. And I think, you know, a year ago, if someone would have told me that, I'd have been like, well, hold up. Did we not keep our muscle? Like what happened to all the work we did? Like what happened to that? And it would have been like, yeah, unfortunately we lost a lot of it because we weren't eating or not able to eat. And it's interesting how it just shifts a little bit and how your, what you care about shifts. And, but like you said, what people see and they kind of what's comfortable to them, it's unfortunately for a lot of women, it's very comfortable to, or I shouldn't say comfortable, but familiar to feel uncomfortable in your body and make a drastic change. And that's how you kind of get stuck in this trap of like, I feel bad in my body today. Tomorrow I'm eating quote unquote clean. And then I'm going to throw myself into not eating carbs. And then this is going to happen. And next thing you know, it's not changing anything. And when you really want control back, especially after having a baby, because you have this thing that you cannot control in your life, suddenly you want to control the one thing you feel like you can. And sometimes that's your body. For me, it was like, that was the last thing on my list because I was focused on other things, but yeah, it's very, it ebbs and flows and it goes in a lot of different directions. And no matter what your size is, it's still going to be prevalent in some ways.
Absolutely.
I mean, so let's just break it down a little bit. Like, what do we think that like body image is really connected to? Like, I think if I have to think about like, for most people, what does having a positive body image or a good body image mean to people? I think a lot of it, it's going to be different. I think even if you ask the three of us, like if you're having a good body image day, like, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? And I think it's going to vary from person to person. And some people might be like, oh, it's because like, I feel really pretty, or I can get into these jeans, or every picture that I take that day, I look sparkly and amazing, or I actually didn't wake up feeling ugly, or whatever it is. Right. And I think for me, when I think about what is my body image built on, I think it comes down to our values, right? Like, what do we value, whether it's societal, within our family space, culturally, whatever it is, it's like, if we believe that like thin people are better, then we're obviously going to automatically tie our body image to that. So like, when I'm thin, I'm better. When I'm not, I'm not. Right. What are your guys' thoughts about like how people's body image are like, how it manifests itself?
You want to go first?
Yeah. And what you were saying with that, like, I feel better. I think that a lot of times my body image feels good when I feel like I'm on top of my stuff, you know? So for a lot of people, it's like, if they are eating food that makes them feel good and energized, and then they are working out or going for walks, getting time outside, staying hydrated, all the basics that we talk about all the time with our clients, I think that that has a lot to do with body image because they feel like they're doing something right. But in reality, all the things they're choosing to do is actually just their body just feels good. Like from the inside out, it feels better. And so, but I think then we make it mean something like, you know, oh, well, I only feel good about myself because I'm on top of my workouts, because I'm on top of my nutrition, instead of realizing that all of those things you're doing is actually just making your body feel internally better, which it's going to feel, you're going to feel better externally when you feel better internally.
Yeah, absolutely. And like that whole dimension of self-care, like, I mean, if there's any way to, besides like, you know, PMS, if there was any way I could predict when I would have a bad body image day, it would be lack of sleep. Like that's so correlated with like my motivation, my mood, all of those things. And I think for most people it is, but yeah, absolutely. That like the lived experience of your body, and like we were in our pre-pod, you even mentioned this about like what your, you know, the sensory aspects of like what you're wearing and, you know, all, not to mention the fact that like, the brain chemistry aspects of like hitting little mini goals throughout the day and just like feeling like that things in motion stay in motion, tend to stay in motion type of thing. Like you start feeling like you are, yeah, like taking care of yourself and headed in a positive direction. I will say what has been an interesting shift for me in the last few years is, I've gone through some experiences where I've missed that. Even maintaining some of my healthy habits, just feeling like periods of depression and things like that, which has been a really, I think, positive thing for healing some of my things that I've had going on of just like learning to be kind to myself, even when I'm not on top of everything, which is really helped me appreciate myself and my efforts and my body in a way that I really hadn't before.
Yeah. It becomes, I think, less, I mean, I think checked boxes are good for keeping up on habits and stuff sometimes, but I think, you know, what you make it mean about you, there's days where I, you know, I don't get a walk in or I maybe ate food that I don't typically eat that I know is going to upset my stomach or something. And then instead of just being like, oh yeah, you know, I didn't get a walk in and I ate that, like, that's all right. Like I'll get on it tomorrow. It becomes this, like, I'm so lazy. I'm not on top of it. I'm never going to get to my goals, and all this kind of self-talk that comes with what we're making our choices mean about us, instead of just leaving them to be like, that was a choice I made. Period. End of sentence. Moving on to the next paragraph. Right.
And no, totally. I mean, and even though you could keep things like that in place, that you can still have periods of like, sadness and overwhelm and all kinds of things too. And maybe not even understanding why, but trusting your body and like having compassion for what you're experiencing. And still, like you said, like maintaining some of those like self-care habits that do help you feel good in the midst of maybe not feeling that great. Right.
Totally. I mean, with my son turning a year, it's like, I had this feeling of like, I could have been lifting more, you know, I'm watching all these, unfortunately, me and probably seven of my friends had kids within the same month.
Oh, no way. So,
yeah. Wow. So it's been like watching everybody else's journey and, you know, trying not to compare and things like that. And, you know, it's like dumb because I'm comparing to moms who have home gyms and who don't work in corporate America. And more importantly, had a baby who wasn't sick for most of the winter and slept most of the time, where if you follow me, you know, my baby did not sleep until he was like 10 months old. And so I had to have this realization of like, you can sit here and compare all you want. You can sit here and feel like, should I have done more? And it's okay to have both. Like I was able to say, yeah, there were days that I chose not to go to the gym and probably could have, and that probably would have been better for me. And now that I'm here, I think I can go now. Like, don't make this a forever habit of just not going when you don't feel like it. Like now you need to have some discipline and try to help yourself out and realize that this is important. And at the same time, like when I was going off of 3 or 4 hours of sleep, like it was not in my best interest to be going and working out. And I was just trying to survive. And it's okay, because in the grand scheme of things, it was 1 year, and you know, as a parent, how fast that year goes. And it's like 1 year in the scheme of my entire life that I can start lifting again and build muscle again, you know, small potatoes, whatever, move on.
Oh, so good. Such an excellent example of like zooming out and realizing like, because that's the problem with comparison, right? Is like you were only comparing the quote finish lines that you're talking about, not the context. And which full circle back to what you were saying in the intro, it's like the nuance is where you find a lot of self-compassion and self-awareness and, you know, like your values and things.
So it's interesting. I was like, okay, let's just ask Google, because let's just see what we come up with. Right. And so I thought it was interesting, because as I'm listening to you guys both speak about body image. And I think there's definitely a lot of correlation between like, yes, like how you're feeling in your body, but have you ever been like at your leanest and also been sad? It's like, but why is it every single time that we feel bad, we're like, oh, it must be my weight or it must be that I'm ugly, right? It's mm-hmm. so interesting how like we automatically jump to this like really reduced conclusion about ourselves instead of realizing that, no, we are actually allowed to feel positive and negative emotions all the time, regardless of what like our body looks like. So they describe body image as how we think and feel about ourselves physically and how we believe others see us. And I thought that was a really interesting part of that description is like how we believe others see us and how interesting it is that like your body image is your own, but yet you're using outside sources to kind of tell you or give you context for like what your body image is. And so it's like, does it matter what you think, or are we as part of our body image and our composition about what others think or how others perceive us? Right. And I think that can really create some weird goal dissonance because let's just use butts for an example. Okay. Like some people like right now we're in a face in a place with fitness that like glutes and like booties are like the thing. Right. But I think if you asked everybody 10 years ago, nobody wanted one.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
And so people who like my children all have, they don't have to do a squat for a day in their life if they don't have to for a booty, right? They don't have to build any glutes. That's genetically what they have, right? But depending on when they were born, they could be like, oh my gosh, why is your butt so big, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting how like we're letting society tell us what is attractive. And I know that we all know this, but like how much of that do we internalize or how much are we like, I don't really want that for myself. Like if you ask me, all the exercises to build glutes, super uninterested. Don't care about a butt that much. That's like me personally, right?
Yeah.
But then people who are like, oh, I really need to have glutes in order for people to look at me and think that I'm strong or I look really good. Like my body image is tied to the approval of others, which I think most of us, I mean, don't walk around thinking like, I want to be really unattractive, right? Right. Like, I think we can admit that to ourselves. Like most of us don't want people to look at us and be like, oh, right? Yeah. Like, so that's, it's, I think what's also interesting too is how body image and body love are not the same thing either, which we need to also kind of break those apart too, because I think a lot of times people think if I love my body, that means I have a good body image. So not true, right? Hmm. I mean, it's the same reason why you have girls who look super incredible, but they still hate themselves, right? And it's still never enough, or they're not lean enough or whatever it is. And then on the other side, why people get frustrated when they see girls who have a lot of confidence, who maybe don't fit that typical cultural body type. And they're like, telling them, like, how dare you like yourself, right? Like you don't have a body that's socially acceptable, but yet they're empowered and they love themselves and they can dress whatever way they want. And I think sometimes you can look at that and be like, oh my gosh, I want that confidence about my body, how maybe you don't have that even in a smaller form or whatever it is. And so I think what's interesting is that it doesn't, I think body image, people think the better I look, the better I feel. Yeah. And I think we need to kind of rework the thought, like that's totally not true, because you could have the best outfit in the world on and still feel like trash, right?
Yeah.
Or you could be in your sweats and feel amazing.
I always feel amazing in sweat after that.
Yeah, I think, and you know, in our pre-pod again, we were talking about like your legs chafing and stuff. And it's like, there's days where I put on my little bike shorts in my house and I'm like, I am like the epitome of like the Instagram housewife right now. Like I look amazing. Like look at me with my little baby and my little like crop top, whatever that I might not leave the house in, but I feel so good in my house. And then there's like a moment where all of a sudden those bike shorts feel just a little bit too constricting, or my crop top is letting in too much cold air. And I am like, get me out of this outfit. And I think, you know, with like legs chafing, it's like, gosh, like yesterday I wore a dress. I felt so beautiful in this dress. And then all of a sudden it's like getting hotter and my legs are chafing. And, but I think that's kind of that stopgap difference of saying like, ooh, my legs are starting to chafe. I need to go change, instead of like, my legs are starting to chafe because I didn't work out enough in postpartum to have like built legs that aren't chafing anymore. Right. And this is my fault.
If I had a thigh gap, then I wouldn't have this problem. And so I had a thigh gap, so my legs never chafe, right? It's like,
totally.
It's wild though, even how we go to those extremes, right? Instead of how about you change your outfit versus to like, no, I'm fully all in and committed to this outfit, so it must be my body's fault that I don't feel comfortable in this dress like the whole entire day, right? It's like,
or it must be my fault.
Yeah,
like, totally. This is because I ate, you know, whatever earlier when I probably shouldn't have, because I was not even hungry and I didn't even mindfully eat it. So that last 10 chips at the restaurant obviously made this chafing situation happen. Yeah. Like, it's just so,
It's instead of the fact that it's like 85 degrees, like, or 85% humidity, like 2 hours later after I left the restaurant, which is why, like, I'm sweating, right?
It's like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. It reminds me, this is a, but on Friday I was going to post a reel and I was like way behind. And I was like, I had all this drama about like an indecision about like what I was going to do. And I ended up posting something. And of course, like at a time that was like not even a great time to post and whatever. Anyways, I checked back on it a little while later and it wasn't doing very well. And I was like, oh, sad, you know, like, of course, thinking like, oh, I probably didn't do a very good job on it or something. And then thinking it wasn't doing very well. And then I checked back again later and actually watched the whole thing and realized I'd left like a bunch of the captions off of the video. And then all of a sudden I was sad anyone had seen it.
Right.
It was such a funny like 180 of like your own judgments, other people's response, and like how it can, but like you, like knowing enough at this point about how thoughts work, I was like, oh, that's so funny that I just did that. I mean, it wasn't funny at the time, but it was funny that I did that to myself. Yeah, that I did that to myself, that it was just like a total like, are you you're sad 1 second that nobody sees it, and then the next second you're sad anyone has, right? It's like the same type of switch you're talking about. It's crazy how quickly that can happen.
Well, and I think we need to kind of welcome some of that sometimes. Like we were, you know, so we did a lot of hiking this summer and we went to Zion National Park and we hiked. I know you guys, I think you guys did too, right?
You can always tell who's from Utah when they say Zion instead of Zion.
So I have to give a shout out to Allie Henry because I used to call it Zion and she was like, don't call it that. You live in Utah now. So I was corrected. Okay.
Well, it's like to the rest of the world, it's Zion, but you know what? Anyway, please.
I'm not even from Utah and I know that it's Zion. So yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. So Allie, I have to give Allie a shout out. But yeah, we went hiking and that first day, I think we hiked over 12 miles, like, and unintentionally, because there's so many different hikes you can do. If you've never been there, it's like you take the shuttle and you do one hike. And we had one hike we really wanted to do was the Emerald Pools. And we decided to just like, we went to the lower one and we just kept going and we kept going and we kept going. And then we finished that whole hike, had lunch and we were like, yeah, let's go check out the rest of the park. Oh, this is a cool hike. And I think like by the end of the day, we did some of the narrows, we did all kinds of stuff. And I remember like thinking later, like, wow, like I'm really impressed with my body for being able to keep up for this long. Like at least, you know, there's some level of fitness that my body kind of kept up through this postpartum phase while I wasn't necessarily intentional about it. And, but at the same time, while I was hiking, it was like, I would take, you know, a quarter of the hike and be like, wow, like, look at me go. Like, I'm not even out of breath. Like, this is fantastic. Look at these views. Like, I don't feel like I'm holding anybody back. I feel like, you know, compared to how I used to feel hiking. And it was really just, I don't want to say like feeling myself, but just really proud, like, just proud of how far I've come and that my body like knows how to do this and that we're fine and that I get to have these experiences with my family and my son and that he's going to be able to do this stuff. And it's not going to have anything to do with his body. It's just going to have to do with being outside and enjoying things and taking breaks when we need it. And then there would be like, you know, another part of the hike that was like, wow, all those girls look so good. And they're like sports bras and bike shorts. And I didn't feel like I could wear bike shorts today because I knew I'd be so hot and chafing and that would drive me crazy. But now I'm kind of self-conscious because I'm so hot and I wish I was wearing bike shorts and I wish I had a body like that. And my sister was with us and my sister and I are very, very different body types. Like I got my mom's genetics, she got my dad's. And so she was like born with a butt, born with a thigh gap, born with like all the things. Right. And so she was one of those wearing that. And I'm obviously around her all the time. So I didn't really notice it. And then we're walking and it just, it was interesting that throughout this like 12 miles of hiking all day that I had such like high highs and such low lows with my body image as the day went on. And that it didn't start high and go low or didn't start low and go high. It just kind of kept ebbing and flowing as I was going with it. And what I, again, with that finish line conversation we were having, what I loved the most was that I just kind of let it exist and be like, yeah, that, you know, that is hard. It's hard that you don't look like some of these people or be able to wear some of these things that you kind of wish you could, but also like, look at you hiking this mountain. Like, that's pretty cool. And there wasn't this, when I get home, I'm going to diet. I'm not going to eat lunch today. I need to, you know, be better about this, or I need to be better about that. It just let it be what it was. And I think that there's that power of and that you are allowed to feel something about your body and still treat it respectfully. You're allowed to feel, you know, like you should probably be getting to the gym because it's good for you, and be frustrated that you even have to go to the gym because you weren't just born with these predisposed genetics. Like, yes. I think,
yeah.
And just embracing all of these thoughts that come and just being okay with them and allowing them and giving them space and giving them credit and saying that it's okay to experience and feel all this stuff and think all this stuff, but not putting severe action toward them and not making it mean something about yourself. Because I think that's really when it just starts pushing you in this other direction of, you know, that you're, it's a hamster wheel. I mean, you're never going to get off of it. So
totally. That's like such a, it's such a milestone in emotional maturity to be able to hold two feelings at once. Right. It really struck me the way you said that about, I guess you could say I was feeling myself. I was like, that's such an interesting thing that we think that that's a bad thing. Right. Like if you're feeling grateful and like actually embodied and present in the moment, you are feeling yourself. And that's a really, really good thing. That's like, you know, we have a few stories like that, that become sort of like Butter's parables, you know, like our green smoothie or like these different things. That is like such a, good story of representation of like values, what any one of us really want to experience in our life and in our body, why we're even doing all of this. Like, why is it important? Why do we care about fitness? And like the way it brings full circle, like into your life and your family and all that, like that, and the ins and outs of body image and the crazy thoughts that you can have, but like not, you know, you don't need to fight with your thoughts. You can just like allow them, and also realize like, because I used to really fight with my negative thoughts. Like I wanted to correct my inner critic all the time. When in reality, I think that the inner critic is sort of like the mask that a wounded inner child wears. Right. And that like, if you just allow it and just keep going, you know what I mean? Like you were saying, like, yeah, it can be hard. Yeah. You know, it's okay to be tired, all those things.
You can hit that level with this. Like, I am so good about talking about this with body image. Comes to everything with my life, like whether it's like moving and feeling excited about moving and also feeling so sad about here. Like, I'm having a hard time holding space for both those emotions. And yet I can hold these emotions very easily for body image. And so if you're really good at something else like that, try to compare it. Because a lot of times I have to be like, the same way that I can feel this about, you know, nutrition or body image, something I've already kind of excelled at, that and I can hold it for this too. And some people are really good at the opposite. They're really good about, you know, being able to manage work-life balance, but then they can't manage the balance with their body and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And they're really, they all kind of connect. It's all the same brain. It's just that we're really good at probably putting it into one bucket versus another. And, but I really do. I feel like that is where some of that maturity you were talking about, and just being able to say, it's okay to feel myself and it's okay to whatever. It's all very, you know, it's all very fleeting too. It just goes very fast. And I think one of the things that helps with my body image, both like since I've had a baby, was just that, you know, the time goes really fast. And when you have a baby, you don't want to like wish away a phase because you'll never get it back. And it was something I didn't really get the concept of until I had a child. But the thing is that we've gone through a lot of hard seasons this year, and we've gone through a lot of whatever. And a lot of people were like, you just have to get through this season. And I was like, well, I don't want to just get through this season, because that's like a 3-month season. And like, he's going to be a totally different baby. And the season had nothing to do with him, but it was like, I don't want to wish away this time for his sake. You know, like I want to enjoy that time with him. And I think that that's where like taking photos, for example, I know a lot of people who have a really hard time taking pictures of their babies postpartum because they're not happy with how they look, and they don't look like the Instagram mom in their postpartum glory with their baby. And it's like, okay, but do you want to not be in any photos with your baby for his first life? Cause he's never going to look like that again, ever.
Totally.
And so it's okay to look back and be like, yeah, I really wasn't loving my body then, but like, man, I'm glad I had that picture with him. And,
well, the irony with that too is like, you actually might think that at the time when you take a picture, and then you look back and you're like, I actually look pretty good back then. Yeah, right? It's like the concept just changes. It's like, that's part of like that definition of body image. It's like, you just have, it's a perception, right? It's not the truth. It's not, I mean, it's really just like your own thoughts about yourself. Right. And it's just, your own thoughts and feelings and the fact that they can be like positive and negative. Like there's, you don't have to get to a place where you never feel bad about yourself again. And no. Even just like that part about like the feeling myself, it's like, would it really be so bad to like yourself? Because I'm going to tell you this, like, if you don't like you, there's not one person that's going to be able to fill that cup for you, right? Like you still have to be in this home. And I love what you were saying about how, like, do I want to like get through this season? And it's just like, I think so many times we see, myself included, like we want to get to the good part, right? Like I want to get to this place where I'm thin already, or I look a certain way already. And like that whole like trust and find joy in the process. Like that's really what it is, because it sounds really awful. I'm just going to say it, but like babies are so cute, right? But they'd have to be, because if they didn't, you wouldn't, when they're screaming at you, you'd be like, I can't even look at you.
Seriously, right? They're the most helpless of all species.
And so your investment in these babies, and like when they cry and when they're being irritating and whatever, is part of that like connection. And so if you cannot support yourself through these moments where you feel bad about yourself, you don't actually ever get to the good part, like where you are, have been self-supportive for 4 or 5 or 8 months of this process, right? Like it's like that whole cliche, joy in the journey, or like trust the process, or find joy in the process, or love the process. It's like, that is because it's not really about losing that weight or getting to look this aesthetic look or like being that Jeff. It's the process that got you there, that has taught you about yourself, that has made you ask questions, which has been really hard, which is, you know, made you ask yourself and over again, like, do I really want to do this? Like, I can't even tell you how many times in motherhood I've been like, I'm out. like, is there like an eject button? You know, it's like,
right.
I mean, it's just, it's sometimes it just feels so overwhelming. And I think we do that in our own skin a lot of times. It's like, you know what? Forget it. I should just crawl under the hole and never leave my house again. I don't deserve to be seen. You know, it breaks my heart when women say that, like when they're like, why do I feel this way? Or like, I thought I looked better, or I thought I was doing better, or I can't show up this way. Or, you know, it's just like, but forgetting that, like, it really is more about like, how are you feeling in the moment, but also about like, you can feel bad and still go.
Yeah.
You can, you know, it's like, if you only do things when you feel good, you're not going to do very much.
Totally.
Right? And I think also there's this, like, it's never going to end, you know, like I'm on, you know, we just had another big transition. My sister was our nanny this summer. She just went to the UK. We're back in like a normal daycare. We're about to move in 6 weeks. And it's like, I can totally get frustrated about like, gosh, I'm still not on a routine. I had a nanny all summer basically, and I still didn't get on a routine, but no matter what, the routine's going to change. And so instead of it, I think there's this, because of the yo-yo dieting situation, I think that we kind of connect the pieces of, if I have to keep quote unquote starting over, I'm doing something wrong. Like I didn't do something correct. And I think there's a difference between starting over and it being this like extreme crazy, like I have to cut everything out, start over, whatever, versus what I'm doing, which is just, okay, it's time to figure out my new routine again. And you're going to have to figure out your new routine again multiple times throughout your life, because there's going to be moves, there's going to be new jobs, there's going to be kids that suddenly go to school and their routine changes. So now your routine changes. Like the daycare we're going to in Idaho has completely different hours than our current daycare. So my routine and my morning routine with my baby is going to change. And I've questioned, do I just start doing something now? And my sister was like, you're going to have to get there and change everything anyway. Like your commute's going to be different. It's going to be different. So just do what you can now, do what works for you now, and then plan to change again. And I think there was this moment when she said that of like, but then I'm starting over again. Like I didn't accomplish this routine. And it's like, whoa, that's not true. Like you can accomplish this routine and adapt to the next thing and adapt to the next thing. And I think that we left behind this idea that winning and like that finish line is actually just being really adaptable and knowing how to put your habits back in place and knowing how to, you know, kind of get back to a routine, even if it takes a few weeks. Like it doesn't have to be perfect, but
I told her it takes a few weeks. Yes. Filter in, you build in little pieces and test different ways of doing it.
And trial and error.
You have to know it all ahead of time.
Body image is like that too. You're like, okay, so I might feel bad for like a week and a half about myself. Okay. Right. Well, like one of the best things I ever did for myself was allow myself to be sad. Like,
yes.
I don't ever gaslight myself into being happy anymore. I'm just like, today's a sad day. Okay. Today's a day I don't super love my body. Okay. It's like, I know I won't feel this way forever, but not finding ways to support myself through it means I'm not good at it when it happens. Right. And now I can be sad and I'm super good to myself because I know how to do it. Right. Like it doesn't scare me anymore to be sad. It doesn't mean anything about myself. Like when I am, it's just more about like, why do I feel this way? Getting to ask better questions of yourself only creates more self-awareness. And then honestly, you like yourself.
Totally. Well, and that holding space, like you were talking about, holding space for your own emotions is how you hold space for other people's emotions. Just allowing them. And if you, if it isn't something that you would want your like daughter, sister, friend to believe, like that it might be at least like not saying like worth asking a couple questions about. And, you know, this, this whole thing you were saying about like not wanting your picture to be taken with your babies. Like I felt that way most of my life, like not wanting my pictures to be, my picture to be taken. And it's like, I used to look back with such disgust of pictures of myself. And now I look back at, you know, postpartum me, I have a few of like come to mind of just like me with my son. And it was such a, it was a really difficult transition for me. I had a lot of postpartum depression, which I did not know at the time. But I like the vulnerability of like allowing yourself to be seen when you don't really want to be seen, right? The why is it vulnerable? It opens you up to feeling shame potentially, like the, one of the most painful thing humans experience. But if you don't open yourself up to it, you never have the opportunity to be authentic. And that is like, that is where you feel embodied, where you are out on the trail, you're out doing the things, right? And I think this, it reminds me, it's like one of my favorite quotes of all time, that passage from The Velveteen Rabbit, where they talk of, where they talk, is talking to the skin horse about becoming real. And he says like, does it hurt? And the skin horse says sometimes, but, you'll get patches of your fur worn off and like you might miss an eye or whatever, but that to people who understand, you can never be ugly. And I was like, you're only ugly to people that don't understand. That's what I meant. And it's an interesting, it's definitely something that comes up a lot for me these days, because we, moving out of postpartum, we're now like kind of into the, oh, we're aging. Oh, so like you were saying, nobody gets out for free, right? Like if you're worried about having too much postpartum weight or not having enough muscle or aging or whatever, there's body image is always going to be shifting sands, just yeah. like putting well, down your routine or whatever.
And Natalie, you brought up the picture thing and like looking back on photos and being like, oh, maybe I didn't look that bad. And I think sometimes it's also okay for it to be the opposite. Like I was by far my heaviest at my wedding and I felt beautiful on my wedding day. Yeah. And it's really fun to feel beautiful on that wedding day and look back at them and be like, wow, I was a lot bigger than I am now, but like how cool that since then I've like put on a ton of muscle and that I've like altered my body again. And then there's going to be times where I might be just as heavy. And it's like, okay, like, and I think that we have this idea of like, I don't want to be in a photo because I don't want to look back on it and think I look big. And I'm like, but do you want to have to try to maintain a certain size forever because you froze that size in time in a photo either? I mean, I think that there's, you can look back and think like, wow, I looked really good then. Or I can look back and say, wow, I've really come a long way since then. And, or you can say like, oh, wow, I look the same as then. And it's fine. It's like, it doesn't have to mean anything. And I think that, you know, with the aging thing, I have to shout out Allie again. We had a whole conversation of like, I wonder if plastic surgery never existed, how much more women would embrace aging. Like never, like Botox didn't exist. Everyone was getting wrinkles at the same rate. Everyone's hair was turning gray at the same time, you know, and it's great that we have certain things to make us feel better about ourselves or feel younger and feel whatever. But again, like it comes from the inside out. And yes. My grandma, she came and visited this year from Germany. So she got on a plane, came all the way over here, sat in a car for 8 hours from Colorado and played with my son on the floor while he was 9 months old. And she is 92 years old.
Whoa.
And was like walking with us in Germany last year when we went to visit, was kind of actually beating my sister and I up the hill and like going to the Alps with my sister, getting beer. She lives in the city, takes public transit. And it's like, she has gray hair. She has wrinkles. She's not skinny anymore. Like she's not tiny. And, you know, I think that unfortunately she probably still does have a lot of body image stuff because of the generation she grew up with. But at the end of the day, like she's also doing and living yes. and doing all of this stuff all the time. And I remember just looking at her and being like, I hope that if I have to live that long, that my focus is on being able to go visit my new great grandson in a different country overseas because my body can handle it, because I took care of my body, because I didn't hate it so much. And again, I don't know what her relationship with her body is to say that she avoided all of that. But I do know that she still kept it moving and she kept it healthy. And I think that that is, you know, when you look back and you look at life and you look at all the things you do, you know, it's it's really sad when you see some of these people. I have a friend who did one of those StoryWorth things with her grandparents, and it was like, what's one of your biggest regrets? And one of her grandmas put like that she didn't make it to a certain weight. And oh, I was like, can no you imagine being that old and writing that in a book for your granddaughter to read, because that's what your whole life was consumed with. And oh, all of these experiences,
sounds like you saw that one thing where like they have been putting their favorite recipes on it. Like, have you seen that? There's like grave markers, and the woman would put their most well-known recipe on their tombstone. Like, could you imagine if people are like, you know, Jennifer got to 126 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, how many people would walk by that tombstone and be like, what? Right. Instead of like, ooh, she makes a mean apple cobbler. Like, let me at it. Right. Like, it's interesting. Right. The legacy you want to leave behind is also contextual. And guaranteed, if your kids hear you talking trash about your body all the time, congratulations, they've inherited that from you as well. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, it's unavoidable. And I think that's one thing that's been, and you'll do this with your son too. Like, as our children are in teenage age, you have a lot more conversations about bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And how different they are and what they look like and how this person's, you know, I'm sorry, you're not as tall as so-and-so, you know, and they're aware of it. Right. But it's also about, it's okay. It's okay to be bummed that you're barely 5 feet tall. It's okay. Right. Like, to my daughter. Right. Or like, you know, just it's more about like the acceptance piece that I think people miss, right? It's not that you're going to like everything about yourself, right? Like, and to the point of plastic surgery, it's like, you could do what all sorts of things to no end, right? To like adjust, fix, tuck, you know, nip, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But the irony is it actually doesn't change the inside. So if you aren't feeling good, no matter what you do to your outsides, right? It's not going to even matter how much you could have 100 grand or 200 grand worth of plastic surgery dumped into your body and you could still feel bad.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's really more about like paying attention to your thoughts and how much it distresses you. Like,
and ask yourself why you feel this way.
Yes. Like, obsessing about your appearance. What coping skills do you have to when those things come up, and like your overall quality of life?
Yeah. And if pictures and like phones and cameras and social media and all that stuff mirrors all like just went out of existence tomorrow, like, what are you left with? Like, what actually is there? Are you loved by your family? Are you a good friend? Are your friends like talking well about you? Are you able to go do things physically that you want to go do? Are you able to pick up things that you want to pick up? And it's like, there's so much, like you were saying, Natalie, with that extra side of it, that's this like external validation that we seek. And that's part of our body image. And I think that, you know, if all of those things like went out the window, what would be left? And I think that it's okay to hold space for all the emotions we feel about our bodies, and also to have like a grounding moment of what's left here and who I am, because who I am is not my body.
Oh, that sounds like the perfect closer. So tell us where our listeners can find you, and feel free to offer any of your programs or promotions you have going on.
Instagram is the best way to find me. It's just Mikayla Emily _MIKAYLA. And I have a couple different tiers of coaching. It really just depends on what you're looking at, but you can always do a free call with me and we can talk about what you're interested in and what works best for you. And if I'm a good fit, because sometimes I'm not, and I'm always willing to say that. So, but that's me. And thanks guys for having me on. This was a great conversation.
Pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Whew, you made it. The butter dish didn't melt your face.
Thanks so much for hanging with us. If you enjoy that episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe, share it to your social media, or leave a comment. That all really helps, so the kids say. If you want to find us, you can find us at Instagram at Butter Your Macros.
On the web at butteryourmacros.com.
Twitter and TikTok at What's Up Butters. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.